From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio. Radio. Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
Walters. You know, it is not often that I'm able to pen up opening remarks for an opening of this program days in advance. Now, I knew what my schedule was going to be guest lineup because I have to start with this. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Well, freedom never takes a break, and I love it. I hope you had a wonderful day today with your family. I did, and I hope you did too. As a result of that, Mr. Gottlieb will not be here today. We have other guests lined up, but I knew I was going to save this segment for comments about a particular topic, and I began penning it up and writing it up notes for this program, and I got to looking at it, and I thought, you know, those look pretty good. I did some tweaking to it, and I actually turned it into a column. I wanted to get it out there early. So it actually appeared at Ammo Land, and it's important enough that I want to cover it today because I want to ask you a question, and I don't know the answer to what I'm going to ask. I truly do not. I'm going through a thought process now. I'm evaluating things. I'm talking to people, but I want to ask you. You're the most important one out there, and I want your opinion. So keep my email in mind, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Some of you daily listeners have heard me talk about this last week, but let me get cracking with this now, because you see, the left is at it again. Not unexpected, right? This time calling the recent San Bernardino domestic violence, murder, suicide, a school shooting. That angered me, because it wasn't a school shooting. It was a domestic violence incident that occurred at a school. Just as sure as it would have taken place at a meatpacking facility or a shoe store in the mall, if that happened to be the place of employment of the intended victim. Make no mistake about what I'm about to tell you. The lefty gun grabbers, and this is controversial, the lefty gun grabbers love the fact that this happened at a school. That's right. They love it. Time after time, we see them exploit this type of violence for their end game, which is what? Civilian disarmament. Repeating to you. What happened in that San Bernardino school was not a school shooting. It was a domestic violence incident that happened at a school. Having said that, I want to raise a bigger question with you. To many, it's a controversial question, but I seem to be the only one asking it. Let me state this up front, as I just did, unequivocally. I don't pretend to have the answer to this question, but it is one that I have raised on this program before. And I intend to continue to do it until I get a satisfactory answer. When a public school teacher, man or woman, usually women in these situations, is the victim of ongoing violent domestic abuse, documented ongoing violent domestic abuse, should they be required to notify their school management that they are in fact at risk? Certainly they know they're at risk. They are in classrooms filled with our children, after all. Now, fairly, I could ask this question about private employers also, but you see, that goes into a decision of ownership. In this particular case, the public school teacher works for you. She works for me. She works for us and has a room full of our kids in her charge. I first asked this question, you may remember, after a double murder-suicide of two educators down in the Tampa, Florida area, Brandon to be exact, a few months back in February. The estranged husband of one of the victims murdered his ex-wife and her girlfriend at their residence, not at their place of employment. That's important. Their place of employment was a local middle school. One of the victims was a vice principal, one was a math teacher. But he could have, and they both knew it. They had to know it. He had a previous conviction and was well known to local law enforcement, their murderer, the estranged husband of one of the two women. They were prepared for his violence by owning and training with firearms to defend themselves rightfully, and they had to know that he could have shown up at that school. They had to. Certainly they didn't think when they walked out every morning that they were safe in their gun-free zone. Thankfully, he didn't, but the incident prompted me to ask then some questions as a parent of two middle schoolers myself. How would I have reacted to the murder of my child's math teacher and the school principal, vice principal in this case, if my son or daughter was a student in that teacher's classroom. Obviously, I would have known her. How would I have reacted finding out after the fact that both of them were victims of, again, ongoing, violent, and documented domestic abuse? I can tell you, I would have been livid. I would have been absolutely livid. So let's cue San Bernardino a few days ago. Another teacher, a victim of violent domestic abuse by a man with a history of such activity and known to law enforcement as such. In this case, the killer went to the school to take out his rage. An innocent child was murdered in the process. Did the parents know that this teacher was under this horrible threat? Did her employer know? In this case, another public school operating with taxpayer funds, did they know about the situation this woman faced? Again, I get asked this about any employer, but how would you like to know, for example, that in the cubicle next to you is being inhabited by a person who has a couple protective orders out against a violent ex-husband, known to law enforcement to be dangerous, and that has a history of acting on his threats? Would you be concerned? Of course you would be concerned. Of course, in both of these cases, and the hypothetical of the private employer, the cubicle, the easiest answer seems to be allowing these victims to carry a gun while at work. I fully, absolutely, 100% agree with that. And while that might seem like the simple solution up front to those of us who despise and want to end gun-free zones for this very simple reason, it doesn't take into consideration that none of us want a gunfight breaking out in a classroom or meeting room if it can be avoided. Situations like these, to me anyway, beg the question, and again, I seem to be the only one asking it, should these educators have been in the classroom at all under what hindsight has told us and proven to us were obviously very dangerous conditions? The rearview mirror is high definition, isn't it? Should they have been put on administrative paid leave until they can show that their unfortunate situation is resolved? I'm not trying to punish the teachers for the terrible predicament they find themselves in, but there are children involved. No private employer, for example, is going to put up with an employee who visibly brings their personal troubles to the office every day. I know good people personally who have lost their jobs as a result of the chaos in their private lives. And I've been the owner and the man who let them go on more than one occasion. It was very difficult to do, but it was the right thing to do. It happens. So I understand the right to privacy, but I'm asking the question here and now, does that right to privacy end when you're a public employee at a school and children might be affected? One of my listeners sent me this after an on-air discussion of the topic. He said, I'd like to offer a perspective on the teacher shooting. Privacy? Not if you are working in the public sector. You are, in a sense, the property of the taxpayer. I work in the public sector. And we have something called the Freedom of Information Act. Anything I do is subject to public scrutiny. We have to disclose a lot of information, and background checks do occur even after hire. We've been told that we should have no expectation of privacy as public sector employees. So the difference here is that the teacher and principal, the school for that matter, being under the employ of the taxpayer, are answerable to the taxpayer. So in addition to the moral imperative of being responsible for children, hell yes, they should have been put on paid leave. That said, public schools forget too often who they work for and who they are answerable to. But that's another topic for another show. Great email. Very thought-provoking. Again, I'm not answering the question. I'm thinking this through. I'm talking to a lot of folks. I have brought this up before. I can't find anybody else talking about it. I will ask AWR Hawkins about this in the next hour. I will ask later in the program, after AWR, Andrew Branca, author of The Law of Self-Defense, one of the greatest teachers out there today. It's a very important question, and it's one that needs to be asked. It's a difficult one. I understand that. That's why I'm asking it of you. I want your feedback. mark@armedamericanradio.org. I want you to think about it, and I want you to offer me your thoughts on the subject. Send me an email, please. mark@armedamericanradio.org. Provide your comments. I'll be reading the best ones on an upcoming broadcast. So very important stuff. We have a lot to talk about today. a ton to talk about. I'll briefly mention this with AWR Hawkins, but moving on, I wanted to get this out. I wanted to see what you, in the giant Armed American Radio monster cast listening audience in hundreds of cities, on nearly 200 stations, 177 digital cable outlets, apps around the world, Red Nation Rising, those of you listening on the internet, I want your feedback. Tell me what you think. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Am I even asking a legitimate question? When we come back, Jerry Henry will be here from Georgia Kerry for one segment because I want him to intentionally confuse you, and he will. And then we'll fix it right after this. Don't go away. The Monster Cast is on.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
At White Hat Holsters, their skilled craftsmen carefully build every holster one at a time using classic techniques and the highest standards of excellence. For all-day concealed carry, you won't find a more functional or comfortable holster than their Max Tuck and Micro Tuck holsters. They're so confident, they'll give you 30 days to try it for yourself. If you're not completely satisfied, return it, and they'll refund 100% of the purchase price. Their holsters are customizable and guaranteed for as long as you own it. Visit them at awesomeholsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today. Today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Yeah, that rejoiner there, that intro from Mike Gallagher, is proof positive that the safest radio studios in all of North America are open for business here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Got to spend time with them last week. What an amazing crew of people they are at Crossbreed. Check them out at crossbreedholsters.com and make sure you listen to Mike Gallagher. He's my favorite. Him and a couple others are three that I go to. Welcome back to these Monster Cast studios, the Crossbreed Holster Studios here of Armed American Radio. A good friend of mine is joining me right now intentionally. I just spoke to him less than an hour ago because I could not wrap my head around what it was I was looking at, and I wanted him to go further. I thought, you know what? My objective here is to confuse you. I want to confuse you intentionally, and you'll understand why in just a second. Jerry Henry from Georgia Carey, Executive Director. The whole world knows who you are. This is what I want to talk with you about, very important for listeners all over the country, and we will find out with the last sentence that I utter in this segment. I think you'll agree with me. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for joining me on what is obviously very short notice. I just talked to you about a half hour ago. I said, come on, you got to come on and confuse me here.
Well, you know me. I never miss a chance of being on the radio with Mark.
And you never miss a chance to confuse me off air either. That's why I wanted to bring you on. So let's get right at it. Okay, Georgia just passed SB 406.
HB.
Excuse me. HB. See, I'm confused already. HB 4. It might have been intentional because that is what I'm trying to do now. HB 406, which cleaned up issues of reciprocity. Now, this is one of the most asked questions I get. There's about three or four of them. Reciprocity is always, it's always up there in the top five or top ten, more than likely, okay? Sometimes higher. Georgia had issues with Virginia reciprocity, and I thought to myself, well, how could that be? Because Virginia honors every permit of every state after their convoluted Terry, you know, McAuliffe, sleaziest governor in America charade, right? So I got to thinking, how could Georgia not have reciprocity? I drove up there and didn't have reciprocity, so tell us about it.
And we also, our reciprocity says that if you will recognize our license, we'll recognize yours. But the Virginia contacted us, offering us reciprocity. And our attorney general said, no, we can't do that because you have to recognize every license. Well, our statute says a license, not every license. But due to the fact that we have a couple of dozen people who are under 21 who have a firearms license, it's against the law for anyone in Virginia to carry, or for anyone to carry in Virginia who is under 21, whether they have a permit or not. So our attorney general said, no, we can't do it because everybody's got to be treated the same way. You and I both know that we have to know what the laws are where we go, or otherwise we'll be arrested. And that was our position on it.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there for just a second. That's important. Let me ask this question, because information is coming out now from Bloomberg's camp. All lies. I want you to confirm it, that they're now staking, because he's pledged $25 million to fight national reciprocity in the 2018 midterms. We know that's the case. We're going to talk about it later in the show. Having said that, they're out now saying that the NRA, the big bad NRA, and folks like me and you are trying to get national reciprocity passed. And those law, if it passes, that means that if I'm from Georgia and I'm in Virginia, I'm trying to force Virginia to honor my state's laws while I'm in Virginia. And that's a flat out bald-faced lie, isn't it? Because I have to honor Virginia's laws, right?
Yeah,
okay, continue, please.
It's just like it'll be treated just like your driver's license. If you're in Virginia, you have to, if the speed limit is 70, you can't drive over 70. Otherwise, you're breaking the law. If it's 60, you can't drive over 60. You can't make up your laws just because you have a driver's license. It's the same thing with a firearms license.
Okay, please continue.
Well, at any rate, we're trying to get this passed before the NRA convention in 2 weeks, which we did. We got it passed. Said that that a state who did not require or who did not allow anyone under 21 was not reason to deny reciprocity to that state. And that was important for several reasons, because we have about 12 states down here that if that law had not been changed, we could have lost reciprocity with, which would have not been a very good thing. So we passed the bill. It was signed into law on April the 5th, and it was effective the date that it was signed by the governor. And you notice he didn't waste any time signing that bill.
Right. Now, that bill, HB 406, forced our attorney general, basically it forced Virginia reciprocity on our attorney general. And people in positions of power are loath to be told what to do, even if it's good law. What happened after that?
Well, then it was up to the attorney general to recognize reciprocity with Virginia. And in his wisdom, he looks through their laws and says, wait a minute, your law requires anybody you have reciprocity with to have a database that's accessible 24 hours a day. And we don't have that. And in fact, in Georgia, it's against the law for us to have one. So you might want to rethink this. Well, my understanding is Virginia came back with another letter that said, look, we offered you reciprocity. We want reciprocity. Give us reciprocity. And it's my understanding that sometime next week he will list it on his website.
He being the Georgia Attorney General.
He being the Attorney General's office.
Okay, now why was it important?
Still not listed on his website.
Okay. Tell Armed American Radio Nation why it was important that we got this reciprocal agreement, this convoluted reciprocal agreement worked out before the NRA convention. Why was that important?
Well, I think there's this thing about where the headquarters of the NRA are located, like maybe Virginia.
And the NRA convention is being held where?
Down here. There are going to be a lot of people down here. And the NRA and their members from Virginia would have been left out in the cold, could not have defended themselves.
All right, because that's because the National Rifle Association annual convention is being held at the Georgia World Congress Center in downtown Atlanta in 2 weeks.
That's correct.
All right, so we had to – this is what I wanted to get across. We had to pass legislation in the state of Georgia to force reciprocity on a state that offered us reciprocity and every other state, and our state said no because of a handful of folks, the way our law is written – being under 21, able to carry a firearm, as they should be able to.
That's correct.
Didn't matter to Virginia, but it mattered to our attorney general, so much so that we had to write legislation and go through the whole legislative process, and I'll call it rigmarole. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if you look, you know, for years we didn't have reciprocity with South Carolina. South Carolina finally changed their law to recognize us. Basically alone, and they added North Carolina, so it wouldn't look like there were only one state involved. But they passed a special law just to recognize us. Any other state that has reciprocity with South Carolina has to have training. Our attorney general didn't say, well, hey, we don't have training. They said, thank you very much, put it on the website, and we moved on. And that's
all right. Now, I have to stop you there because we're getting ready to end the segment, and I wanted to end it perfect timing, and I wanted to end it with this. All of this mess about reciprocity between Virginia highlights the bigger concern that we could put it all to bed with what?
National reciprocity.
If national reciprocity becomes the law of the land, none of this is an issue. Start following what's happening because Michael Bloomberg has now pledged $25 million, and there's more where that came from, to stop you from having reciprocity. Jerry Henry, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Coming up next, I'm going to run out of time. We'll see you in a second.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org. How many times do I have to ask you to do that? I am a lifetime member, of the Second Amendment Foundation. I spent an amazing amount, a large quantity, a large block of my time last week in Texas at the USCCA Concealed Carry Convention in Fort Worth with Alan Gottlieb. Had dinner with him, spent the day with him at his booth, had a tremendous opportunity to sit and talk with him for many, many hours. A lot of great things getting ready to happen, but we can't do any of it without you. We've got a man in the White House who wants to help us. I can tell you that unequivocally, wants to help us. But in order to do that, we've got to be able to move our agenda forward. We've got to bring something to the table. And the Second Amendment Foundation does it in our courtrooms across the country every day. You know that. You've heard Alan on the program now for 8 years. In fact, the 8-year anniversary of this program coincides with the National Rifle Association meeting here in the Atlanta area in 2 weeks. So I hope to have some great guests lined up for you as that convention closes. Boy, it's going to be a lot of fun. But please join the SAF, Second Amendment Foundation. It's real simple, saf.org, saf.org. Okay, my next guest, I got stopped by the clock there. It happens, is Bruce Lavelle. Bruce is the managing partner of Dunwoody Diamonds USA and Lavelle Properties LLC. He's a very successful business person here in the state of Georgia. And what we're going to talk about has national implications, believe me. As the former chairman of the Gwinnett County Republican Party, Bruce was tapped to serve as the executive director of President Donald Trump's National Diversity Coalition during the 2016 campaign. He was honored to be a Trump campaign top media surrogate for national news and a national delegate for Trump at the 2016 RNC, the Republican National Convention. Bruce is an active community leader devoting time to serve on the Emory University Board of Visitors and the Crime Stoppers Greater Atlanta Advisory Board. He previously served as the chairman of operations of MARTA, MARTA being the train system around Georgia, around Atlanta, on the Clayton County Regional Police Academy Advisory Board, and on the Victory World Church Board. Bruce resides with his wife Sharon and their children in Sandy Springs, Georgia, just outside the Atlanta metro area. And he heads over. He's also a member of North Point Church in Alpharetta. Those of you who are listening in the area know where he is. Bruce, welcome to the program, my friend. I'm looking forward to this half hour. How are you today?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Happy Easter to you and all.
Happy Easter to you too, my friend. No, it really was. I hope you and your family had a great Easter today. I know mine did, and it was, the weather cooperated, and it was just a beautiful time.
Beautiful here in Atlanta. Beautiful.
It certainly was. Hey, I got to ask you this. I've been to SunTrust Park now for opening day and the day after, and I'm going again tomorrow and Wednesday. Have you been there yet?
No, not yet. I've been campaigning pretty heavily, unfortunately.
Not unfortunately.
Hours.
Yeah, I didn't know if your campaigning would take you there or not.
The ball game is what I meant, but not unfortunately.
There you go. Hey, Bruce, let me start with this. This is a race that's getting a tremendous amount of national attention for a lot of different reasons, not to mention a possible demographic shift that this could represent in the state of Georgia. A lot of people are concerned. Politico has a piece out right now. Is Georgia poised for a Democrat upset? Now, John Ossoff is getting a tremendous amount of money flowing into his campaign from uber liberals around the country. Why is this race so vital, and who is it replacing? I want listeners to understand why we're having a race here in Georgia's District 6 and what it means.
Yeah. Well, first of all, and thanks for having me. As we all know, Congressman Tom Price vacated the seat and was tapped to be health secretary, which opened the seat open for a special election. The election's April 18th, and it consists of 18 candidates on the ballot, 11 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and 1 Independent. And, of course, only 1 Bruce Lavelle. That's the good part about it. But
right.
The district has historically been favored by Republicans since the 70s. You know, as we all know, just for a little history for the listeners, it was Newt Gingrich's old seat before also. And Isaacson, so it has a tremendous Republican base to it. They are reaching. It's so unfortunate too, though, Mark, because this young man, 30-year-old man, he's doesn't even live in the district, and the Democrats believe they have a chance, which they don't. And of course, me, no, you know, obviously, because I live, work, play, and worship in the district, so I know a lot about this district, and my main company is in the district also. They have a really good pulse for the community. They are reaching. If they're lucky to get to the runoff, you know, the top two, they'll get creamed in the runoff. And it's interesting because they're putting this type of money in this seat. You know, for me, I would take the money and go build their failing party instead of putting their eggs in this basket. And, you know, I was on the, it's interesting on this topic too, when I was at a candidate forum, I looked over at John Ossoff and I said, you know, you seem like a really nice guy, but you need to understand something, that they don't care about you. And when I say that the $1 million of special money and special interest they throw in your way, they could care less about you. I said, the best thing you can do is be your own person, but I know that's hard. And then I said, don't feel lonely because there's some Republicans that are on the hook just like you are and on the take, unfortunately. So with respect to that, there's absolutely no way they're going to get it. It's 80%+ of the cash coming out from other states. It won't work. I tweeted out one time that nothing's going to be able to save him on this particular run. But you know, it's a reach though, Mark. It's not going to happen at all.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm feeling your enthusiasm, and I'm glad you're saying that, and I'll tell you why. You know, my head is in this game every day, all day, mm-hmm. 6 days a week on radio, and I got to be honest with you, Bruce. Sometimes it's very difficult, and you're talking to someone who understands the media spin, and I got, honestly, when you see this stuff and you see what the left is doing, you know, his coffers have been raised by $8.2 million in this campaign of out-of-state money, as you said. He's got a fairly large war chest, and the way the media is spinning this, they're all spinning it as he's going to win. the Republicans don't stand a chance. There's 18 of them in the race or 11 of them in the race. They don't know what they're doing. Meanwhile, he's got a shot, and I love hearing what you're saying because it brings you back down to reality. So let's talk a little bit about that reality. If no one gets 50%, he's not going to get 50%, I don't think. I think the highest I've seen right now is about 40%. That forces a runoff, correct? How's that work?
Well, basically, it's going to put the top two, and then obviously that we can't get above 50 of the candidates who can. I hope to be into that runoff. And the runoff was decided in June. So, like I said, it won't happen. My prediction are two Republicans. And, we got criticized a little bit of having so many in the race. But had there not been, for me personally, the reason why I jumped in is because when I looked at the ballot, I saw who was wanting to join this race. I didn't see a candidate that was going to support the president. And, Mark, they all hee-hawed around. Remember, I was a national delegate, and I ran one of the largest diversity coalitions in the history of a GOP candidate. I knew the pulse of the district. I knew the pulse of the state. And I also knew that some of our very own constitutional officers sat on their hands, even when candidate Trump became President Trump, or should I say elect, or as our nominee in June. They all still sat on their hands and did absolutely nothing. And as we progressed over to this, to February, when it was time to qualify, there were several of these candidates that were, if you want to say, never really supported the president, even when he was the nominee or president-elect. So it prompted me to put my name on the ballot because I really feel that I wanted to support the president, help him. He is the leader of the GOP. People need to remember that. And it's our Republican Party is like a marriage, it's for better or for worse. Some people pick Rubio, some people put Bush, some people put Kasich, but my optimism that I hope that we were going to reconcile and come together during the convention. And unfortunately, I was wrong. Several of these candidates that have their name on the ballots that won't even mention the president's name. I've been to some of the GOP headquarters here in Georgia. They don't even have a picture of the president on the wall or even a bumper sticker or anything. So this is, I know, one of many reasons why I jumped in the race to support the president's agenda, to be an ally and a champion for him, and not to mention this terrible traffic that we deal with in Atlanta. I want to fight for
that. Oh, boy, isn't that a mess. Right. Hey, Bruce, we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Diversity Coalition. That's near and dear to our hearts here as we try to bring more minorities into responsible gun ownership. So we'll tie it all together with Bruce Lavelle running for Georgia's 6th District to replace Tom Price right after this.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
Defensive shooting is a dynamic event that requires a lot of decisions to be made within a short amount of time.
Microseconds.
When deciding to engage, the shooter needs to transition from focusing on the threat to focusing on the front sight. When adrenaline is pumping, excess night sights are the most visible sight option for a self-defense situation. We hope you never need them, but if you do, you'll be glad you have them. Visit XSSights.com and use promo code USCCA10 to get 10% off your next purchase, giving you the defensive edge. XS Night Sights.
I refuse to be a victim. I will protect my family. I will protect myself. CCWstyle.com is the one-stop shop for female concealed carry apparel and a trusted source for female-focused self-defense education. We welcome, educate, and equip you in a defensive lifestyle. At CCWstyle.com, you will learn, explore, shop, and connect. Refuse to be a victim with CCWstyle.com. Empower yourself and your family with CCWstyle.com.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Filling your prescription for freedom. Here's the host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Back in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, the safest radio studios in all of North America. That much I can promise you, in the Metro Atlanta area. And I'm talking with Bruce Lavelle, who is running for Georgia's open 6th congressional district seat, vacated by Tom Price, who is now in Washington. Bruce, welcome back to the show. I guess I should say, Lavelle for Congress. .com. It's L-E-V-E-L-L for Congress.com. Where does this, what are the 6th district's boundaries? We have a lot of listeners in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, basically it encompasses Sandy Springs, East Cobb, North Fulton area, which is Alpharetta, Milton, Dunwoody, Tucker, Doraville.
Okay, so you can get into
Fulton County and pieces of the Cab and Cobb County.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is... The reason that this has national implication is because the Democrats are desperate, and they're lying like crazy right now, lying like crazy about Ossoff and everybody else, because what they're trying to do is put out that narrative that they have flipped a historic conservative district in their favor. And as you said, you don't think that's going to happen, and I'm with you on that. I don't think that's going to happen either. And
they need to use the money to fix their failing party.
They absolutely do. Let me take you in a couple of different directions here. The Diversity Coalition, first of all, love the photograph with you and the president at the Oval Office. It's fantastic, and I loved your email today when it said huge. Tell us about the Diversity Coalition. What does that mean, and what did you do for President Trump?
Well, first of all, the Diversity Coalition, it stands for the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. It's, like I said earlier, it's the largest diversity coalition in the history of a GOP candidate. And if for the listeners out there, go to ndctrump.com, click on who we are, and basically it gives you a list of, you know, pretty much supporters from all over the country, from, you know, Haitian Americans for Trump, Jewish Americans for Trump, African American pastors for Trump, Cuban Americans for Trump, Hispanic Americans for Trump, and the list goes on and on from all. And the whole goal was to reach out and bring all different ethnic groups out there, because, you know, unfortunately, this main liberal media was trying to paint President Trump out to being a racist and all this other junk. So Pastor Dale Scott, Michael Cohen, who's Donald Trump's executive vice president at the time, who is Jewish American for Trump and his father was a Holocaust survivor, came and put this awesome coalition together from, you know, over a million plus supporters from all over the country to bring a voice together of diversity, diversified. And it gave us a tremendous platform it gave us, obviously you saw the numbers during the election. We got 9 to 10% African-American vote, 28% Hispanic vote, 20% African-American vote in certain parts of Ohio and Pennsylvania. And I'll tell you this too, President Trump had the highest, vote for minorities since Richard Nixon. I mean, he outpaced McCain and Romney, and is on when he goes up for re-election, he'll more than triple that number.
Now, are you sure about that? I didn't see that on the news, Bruce.
Yeah.
I mean, that's seriously. Yeah. I mean, this is something that we've said here that they're going to do it.
Yeah, you know, one thing, especially in the black community, they're going to see how, unfortunately, a lot of the communities have been under Democrat rule, especially here in Atlanta, for several decades. And to look around and say, "Hey, what do you have to lose?" And
right.
to take a president, a very successful businessman, that does speak about the elephant in the room that's been uncomfortable conversations to address some of the needs in the HBCU schools, your right to choose a school in some of these communities. That's going to really, really help a lot of these disadvantaged communities. You know, for example, Mark, what president? Has mentioned an inauguration speech about what's been going on in Chicago.
Right.
You notice it's getting kind of quiet in Chicago, if you noticed.
It is. Well, let me say this. Let me ask you a question. I've stated on this program publicly that I believe we're going to see a massive shift, a demographic shift in the Democrat Party from minority to Republican over the subsequent 4 years, because I believe it's going to be an 8-year presidency, but we are going to see a massive shift away from the Democrat Party with minorities moving. Do you believe I'm right there?
No, absolutely. I totally believe that. It's not a soundbite. It's reality. People are tired. People are tired of the same old song, the same old. And, you know, it's so unfortunate because a system that's been so broken and has taken advantage of so many people of color. And I work with a lot of inner city schools and kids as a leader in the community and through my church and ministry. So it is something right down my wheelhouse to see where a lot of the failed policies have been in 90%+ Democrat rule. I hate to say it, just rule like that. So to take a president that's not beholden to any special interest or any not beholden to anyone that can come in and really get very aggressive. You know, I say take a close look at Dr. Ben Carson. There's a reason why he's over in HUD. There's a reason why Linda McMahon is over at SBA. These pieces and parts of this administration's put together very strategically, that's actually to help a lot of the underserved communities and the American citizens. So I'm very optimistic about it. It's a winning team, and you don't have to like the person or like the president or his personality, whatever, but the results are in themselves. You notice we've had a 40% decrease in border crossing. You watched the job growth in the last 3 months. You watched him make decisions on putting America first and the nation, as how he shot those missiles over at Assad and told him, like, look, basically, you need to stop tripping,
Yeah.
And
hey, Bruce, let me stop you. Let me stop you quickly in the essence of time, sir, because I've got about a minute and a half with you, maybe a minute and 20 seconds. Let's talk about the pro-gun vote right now, because obviously this is Armed American Radio. You support national reciprocity. I was talking with Georgia Carey's founder, Jerry Henry, about how convoluted the process is now that we have to go through. National reciprocity stops that, and you support it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, did you get my email with my gun permit and my 40 Cal Kimber that I emailed? Look in your email box. A beautiful picture of that. It is a photo of my concealed carry and my 40 Cal. But yes, absolutely. You know, being a jewelry business manufacturer, all my shops are very well armed. My jewelers, my staff are very capable of discharging a firearm. They've been trained. We're very pro that. That's absolutely 100%. Yes.
I love that. Armed American Radio listeners in the vicinity that can vote in the 6th District, I know there's a lot of you out there. You've heard it here. You have our support. You have our endorsement here at Armed American Radio. We're very hopeful. My next question before I have to let you go, will you be at the National Rifle Association convention in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I'm actually, the president's going to be here on the 28th. I'm trying to work it out to actually, well, not so much be in the crowd, but just be with him here real briefly. But yes.
Well, you'll be hearing from me over that 2-day, 3-day period, because I would love to meet with you while you're there. We'll all be there together, and the Armed American Radio Nation will be coming together.
The safest place in Atlanta.
It will be the safest place in
America. Will be that event. In that event.
It definitely will. Bruce Lavelle, thank you, my friend,
thank you
for being here. And I'm looking forward to bringing you back after the election. We want people to know what happened. We want to continue to follow up with you. Fair enough?
Well, like the president said in the Oval Office when I was with him Wednesday, he said, I'm a winner no matter what. So how about that?
You are a winner. You are. That's fantastic. Thank you for being here on Armed American Radio. We're looking forward to talking to you
soon. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Wow. I mean, that's how we tie it all together. Bruce Lavelle, the Democrats fighting with outside money to the tune of a war chest now of $8.1 million, and you heard it here. They're going to fail. Freedom will always prevail. It might be an uphill battle, but freedom will always prevail. Bruce Lavelle needs our assistance. LavelleForCongress.com. This race has national implications. Bragging rights, if they win, we can't let that happen. Lavelle for Congress. And we thank Bruce for being here on very short notice. And we appreciate it. And Neil McCabe for making that happen at Breitbart. Remember, Armed American Radio tells you every week, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. We'll be back with the great A.W. Hawkins from Breitbart News right after this.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.